We're going to be reading from 1 through 7, but we'll be studying 4 through 7. Then God blessed his son Noah and his sons, and saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal. And from each man, too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. As for you, be fruitful, increase in number, multiply on the earth, and increase upon it." Let's pray together. Well, Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that you give us in your word. And we just pray, Father, that as we study your word this morning, that you would send your spirit, that he would fill this place, that he would direct our hearts and minds in the truths that you have for us today, and how we might best offer worship and glory to you, Father, and learn from what you have for us. We just give this time up to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you may be seated. What is the most grievous crime or grievous crime that you can think of?
Murder.
Okay. What would make murder even more grievous than we consider it? I made you think about that one, didn't I? What would make murder more grievous than what we consider it already? Double murder? See, I believe the most grievous crime that one can commit is taking innocent life. Innocent life. Life that they have no one to help them, no one to escape to, or to help them escape, and they fall prey to the heart of whoever is doing the evil upon them. Would you agree? They can't fight back. They are at your mercy. Or the mercy of the one who is coming after them. Let me ask you this. How do you think God feels about taking innocent life? Sorry? It grieves him?
But he had to do it once.
He had to do it once, yes. And he went willingly, though. What would you base that opinion on? That God, it grieves God for the taking of innocent life.
Genesis.
Hey, someone's paying attention to this one. Okay, in verses 4 to 6, as we come to these this morning, God says to Noah, "But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal. And from each man, too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man, his blood will be shed. For in the image of God has God made man." See, in these verses, the reason I read 1 through 7 is because in these first verses of chapter 9, God is giving some new commands to Noah and his family that will apply to the whole human race to follow after them. These included the new dietary rules, protection from wild animals, so that, you know, think about this. If God didn't put this fear in the animals could easily have wiped out these 8 people. Easily have wiped them out. But God puts this fear in these animals so that man won't be wiped out and man will have an opportunity to fulfill the commission that God has given them to be fruitful and fill the earth. Now, part of these new dietary laws is that mankind can now eat meat to help sustain them because they are living in a new sin-cursed world. Veggies aren't just going to be growing everywhere like they were in the pre-flood world. They couldn't just go pick up good things to eat. They had to work hard for them. So in verse 4, God instructs Noah that when eating meat, no one should ever eat the meat with blood in it or drink the blood of an animal, because the blood is the very life of that creature. I wonder if he knows that's dragon. It's the very life of that creature. You know, think about it. How do you know when a person's dead? Either there's no brain activity or all their blood's gone, right? See, blood represents life. And it is sacred and must be respected because it is and will be the substitutionary offering for the life of mankind until the Redeemer comes to make a complete atonement for the sins of man and mankind. Once for all time. But that salvation, that atonement, is only for those who accept the gift of salvation. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ died for the sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." And then John adds in John 1:12, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." You see, we can't just say, "Well, Jesus died on the cross, I'm good." Doesn't work that way. There's some conditions to that, because we need to ask for that gift, to receive it into our lives, and receive Jesus as Savior. But what else do we need to receive Him as?
Lord.
As Lord. He needs to be Lord over our lives now, because the way we were living obviously was not pleasing to God, or we wouldn't feel the need to go to Him and ask for that forgiveness. So when it comes to the lifeblood of mankind, God says this is even a deeper matter to Him, because all mankind is made in the image of God. In chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Male and female He made them, and they were made in His image." So not only is the blood of animals not to be used for food, but man's blood, which is even more sacred, should be respected more highly. And that's why God sets these parameters here about the shedding of blood. Human blood is the life of every person. And it's that life that is a representation of the image of God in us. Even though man and animals have a soul, you know, all animals have a soul, right? How many of you have pets that have personalities? Okay, that's part of their soul. That's what we're taking with us to heaven, so people will know who we are when we get up there with our new bodies, however wonderful they'll look. You know, but only mankind has a spirit. The spirit is the image of God in us. Jesus says in John 4:24, "God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." That's why we believe it is so important to proclaim the truths of God's Word to people, because people will live eternally. One of two ways: either in eternal punishment apart from God, or in eternal peace with God. If you want to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. There are several parables that Jesus teaches in this parable, but the one I'm going to refer to is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And in verses 45 and 46 is what I'm going to do. It's the conclusion of what Jesus was saying. Now, I want you to understand that when Jesus starts this parable, He says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory." Who's the Son of Man?
Jesus.
Right. Okay. So, verse 45, "He, the Son of Man, will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for Me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." So we got two choices: eternal life or eternal punishment. And it's up to us which way we go. And because of the significance of man's blood, neither man nor animal are permitted to shed that blood of any human being without there being severe consequence. If they do, God will require, better yet, demand an accounting for it. The accounting will be the shedding of the perpetrator's blood. There is to be severe penalty for the shedding of human blood. If it's an animal that sheds the blood of a human, then that animal's life must be taken. Exodus chapter 21, verse 28. If a bull gores a man or a woman to death, the bull must be stoned to death, and its meat must not be eaten. That's the standard. God has said that if an animal... How many of you have heard about those man hunts, the lion hunts for man-killing tigers or lions? Yeah. You know, even though some of them are protected, if they're killing people, guess what? What about the grizzly bears here? If they kill people, what happens to them?
They die.
They die. Okay, this is still a basic principle today. But if any human takes the life of another human deliberately, then they are to forfeit their life for it, judged and executed by those who found them guilty of that crime. See, God has made it the responsibility of all mankind to see to it that justice prevails when one takes the life of another. When it says here that by man his blood shall be shed, it literally means by their brethren or by their brothers or by their relatives. I want you to think about this. What is God saying here? Are we all related here? Yeah, where's our parental lineage come from?
Adam and Eve.
We are all related. No matter what color we are, we are all related. We are all one blood. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. And we are to avenge the taking of life. See, God is here establishing a formal system of human government so that justice will prevail, especially in the case of murder. God has given man the authority to execute judgment upon others who take the life of a human being. It would no longer be every man for themselves, but now mankind together passing judgment upon all those who do evil. For those of you who have been around for a while, kind of like me, when did things start going south in schools?
God out. No prayer.
Right. When they threw the Ten Commandments out and they threw prayer out of the schools. Why did they throw the Ten Commandments out? Does anybody remember the quote from that? Well, if the kids see them, they might read them. If they read them, they might do them. Hallelujah, we wouldn't have kids killing each other today in our schools. See, before the flood, there were no such laws to govern the actions of mankind. As example, you think about Cain and Lamech. Remember Lamech? He had multiple wives. And he said, hey, I'll kill anybody that comes against me. See, God would not allow this. He wouldn't allow this kind of behavior to continue, but would establish human government to bring to justice those who commit murder. Essentially, God is establishing capital punishment, something that I think we need to reinstate today because life has become so cheap. Thanks to evolutionary teaching. I'll talk more about that in a minute. See, this authority given to Noah and his family, along with the rest of the human race, implies the establishment of laws to govern the actions of mankind, which, if left unchecked, could easily lead to murder. Why don't you think about this? Someone's committing adultery. What's the spouse want to do? Kill both of them. Okay. Someone's breaking into your house, going to rob you. Someone knocks you down on the street and is beating you to take your wallet, your watch, and your purse. What do you want to do? People are pushing the rights of certain ones over the rights of others. Where could that lead? Even taking the lives of innocent children, born or unborn, would and should be taken into account. See, this basic command and instruction would be the basis for all human government and human government institutions. You know, we need to understand that this is not talking about vengeance, but about justice. Because of the special nature of mankind, we are made in the image of God, and God says, you need to respect that. So there would have to be some way to investigate the crime so that the guilt is proven and judgment doled out after that guilt is proven. There's no vigilante squads here. There's no, let's go hang them up. Kill them now, we'll figure it out later. God didn't want that. Deuteronomy 17:6, on the testimony of two or three witnesses, a man shall be put to death, but no one shall be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:1 reaffirms this. He says, this will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. You see, God didn't want this to be vigilante justice. He wanted this to be fair justice. See, God is the one who establishes human government and the authority of it, whether we like it or not. He says we need to respect it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We're going to start at the first verse. As soon as I find it. Romans chapter 13. Everyone, does that have any exclusions? Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoers. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience, our conscience before God. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Turn over to 1 Peter. Chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect for everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. You know, a lot of people today either love or hate our government. God says it doesn't matter. I can remember some presidents that we've had previously that I wasn't real keen on. But God said respect them because he has put them there. And that's what we need to do. God has established this so that there would be some kind of order on the earth. Now today we have many who have turned away from the authority of God's word, and because of that, they have liberal views and objections to capital punishment. And if you think about it, this is another effect of evolutionary thinking. Because if we evolved from animals, why should someone be punished for acting like one? See, that's the undermining thing that goes on here. We talked about this last week. If you had little kids and you're sitting at the table and they drop their face down on their plate and go, what would you say to them? Stop acting like an animal. Why? Because you're not an animal. You are made in the image of God. See, for us as Christian, this principle still applies today. If one human being deliberately takes the life of another, committing murder, then their life should be forfeited for it. The New Testament is clear about what we have seen in Romans 13 and 1 Peter. But the New Testament also reinforces the principles of eating all foods. That's in 1 Timothy 4, 3-6. From abstaining from the lifeblood of an animal, Acts chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, as well as the authority for wielding the sword to keep justice. This is not a principle just for the Old Testament times, but it's for our times as well, and I think it's a principle we need to get back to today so we can get some order back into our society and into the world. This is an integral part of God's original covenant with all mankind, that we are responsible for our actions. What are some attributes of God? What are some characteristics of God?
Loving.
I got
loving.
Loving.
Just.
Holy.
Just.
Just. Omnipotent. Merciful. Okay. Once more, I didn't hear that one.
Sovereign.
Sovereign. Yeah, you'll blame him.
Yeah.
See, we need to also understand that this standard must have exceptions to the punishment of murder, execution. There's got to be some exceptions to that. See, God is a just God, but He's also a merciful God, especially when it comes to those with a repentant and contrite heart. In Psalm 51, David writes, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, You will not despise." Isaiah 57:15 says, "For this is what the high and lofty one says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place." Boy, don't you get a picture of a holy God there? But listen what he adds to this. "But also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite." You see, even though King David, who wrote Psalm 51, even though he was guilty of adultery and murder, God forgave him because he repented. But there were still consequences for his crime. Does anybody remember what those are?
His baby died.
So also a judge should be able to take into consideration the mitigating circumstances which led up to a crime to help determine the punishment for it. The guy knocks you down on the street to try to rob you, and he pulls a knife on you, and you pull a gun and shoot him. You're standing before the judge. What do you say?
Self-defense.
Okay, you're good. You're driving your car down the street, and someone runs down across right in front of you. You mow them down and kill them. What do you say when you stand before the judge? It was an accident. The guy ran right out in front of me. There was nothing I could do. See, there's got to be some way for people to look at the mitigating circumstances so that we're not just taking this rule and running away with it. You know, we need to have the thought and the heart. Remember, we're made in the image of God. God has given us the ability to reason through these things, to consider them, to look at all of the whole picture of things and say, you know what, this was never intended to be a murder. See, the whole point comes to that man is given this authority. And we're responsible to oversee these acts of grievous crime against other humans, especially when we recognize the sacredness of human life. We're made in the image of God. For God, the shedding of blood was such a serious crime and should not be taken lightly. The pouring out or shedding of blood was serious because it pointed to the forgiveness that we could have in Jesus Christ by the pouring out His blood for the atonement of our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins, which we deserve death for, eternal separation from God in hell for all eternity for. Romans 5:9 says, "Since now we have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him?" Jesus says in Matthew 26:28, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." See, this was symbolic from the very beginning, that blood sacrifice was an atonement for sins, and that the ultimate atonement would come when Jesus poured out His blood for our sins. Jesus paid the penalty for our death sentence so that we might live for Him in a new and a divine way, being responsible for the lifeblood of others. Genesis 9, verse 7. God says to Noah and his family, He says, "As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." God reaffirms His commission to Noah and his family. They are to increase in number and fill the earth. See, God had set forth protections for mankind by putting the fear of man into animals, by giving them new dietary standards to help them grow and mature, and He gave them also this establishment of human government for our protection. Now, I want you to think about something. How many people were there that got off the ark? Eight. Okay. So in about 4,000 years, God's commission has been completely obeyed. The earth's population went from 8. Does anybody know what it is? 7.8 billion. Okay. We have been fruitful and multiplied. See, overall, government has done its work well. Yeah, there's some exceptions, but overall, it's done its work well. God knew what He was doing. Even though the heart of man is evil from childhood, we can trust God to get us through doing it His way. Now think about this. If God will demand an account of the animals for the shedding of man's blood, what will God do to those who shed the blood of innocent humans and aren't punished for it? You don't answer that. Just think about that. See, God gave Noah and his family a commission, and they were to be obedient to it. We have been given a commission today as well. We've been given this commission because God respects all human life and wants everyone to be saved. He does not desire that any life be lost to eternal punishment, and has commissioned us, His people, to go and make disciples, rescuing as many as possible because they too are created in the image of God. Think about this. What will we do if we're called to account for all the lives that we were supposed to witness to, but did not, and were lost? Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You for the reminder in Your Word that You have set up things at the beginning of this the new world, when Noah and his family got off the ark. You set these up for our benefit, Lord, so that there would be some peace and some harmony and some restrictions on evil in the world. So, Father, we thank You that You've given us these things. Do we ask, Lord, that You'd help us to be obedient to them, and, Father, to remember the commission that You've given us for the importance of every lifeblood on this earth. For we all are related to one another, and Father, if we could just get a clear picture that whoever we're talking to, whether we know them or not, they are a brother or sister in our human race. So, Father, help us to bring forth the good news to those who need to hear it. Help us, Father, to help them understand the truths that you've given us and why you've given us these truths to direct our lives, because you want peace and harmony amongst us. And Father, we know that because of man's evil heart, that won't come until Jesus returns. But Father, until that day, help us to be obedient to you in fulfilling our commission to bring forth the good news and to remind people of the things you've instructed us of. And thank you, Father, that you remind us each day through your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.